So, glad to see everybody this morning. Welcome to Crestview Baptist Church. We are so glad to see everyone here sitting here today, plus everyone at home watching or watching later this afternoon. We're just glad that you were able to join in today as we worship God. There's not a lot of announcements as we are still not completely back to normal with everything. So just remember Bible study at 6:30 Wednesday night. If you come, I'll be meeting out under the awning over here, and weather permitting, and it's not, well, even over there, it's raining, we can still be out there, but it's been nice, and just an opportunity to have a short devotion, and just catch up with everybody, because I've missed everybody, and I know especially young people really miss it when they don't get to get together, so it gives them a good opportunity to just catch up with each other. Other than that, there are no other announcements. We're just glad to have you with us this morning, and we hope everyone enjoys the service.
Good to see everyone this morning, and let us begin our worship service by singing, "We Will Glorify the King of Kings." Would you stand for us?
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords. Who is the great I am? Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. Creator of heaven and earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord of all the universe. All praise to Him we give. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Hosts, who is the great I Am.
Amen. Thank you.
Let me welcome you as well to our service this morning. And of course, I am not Artie. Artie is in Florida with his family there. His dad continues to be very ill, but he is improving. And they are hoping, if all goes well after a medical procedure there on Monday, if all goes well, they hope to be returning on Tuesday. And so we definitely want to remember our pastor and our prayers this morning. And also we want to remember some other folks in our church. We want to remember Sharon Kahn and the death of Don, whom we all love so very much. His funeral, of course, was this week. And we want to remember Sharon and kids, grandkids, all the family there. And a big event today is taking place in Paul's life. And Paul and Robin will be married today. And so we want to remember them later this afternoon and their wedding. And of course, one of the concerns that we all have is our nation. Some of us never thought we would see the condition that we are in our country right now. But God is still God. God is still in control. And we want to continue to remember our nation. We also want to continue to remember the many people who have been affected by the COVID-19 virus. And so we want to pray for not only our nation, but all over the world. The nation of Nicaragua, where some of you know that United Christian Missions has a ministry. We think it's bad here. It's terrible there. And so Nicaragua is like many other countries throughout the world. So let's remember those who are being affected by this virus. Are there other church concerns or prayer concerns that you want to share with one another? Yes.
Going to see a rheumatologist tomorrow, 11 o'clock. So hopefully good news, good first visit.
Hopefully you heard that, but Joanne is going to the rheumatologist tomorrow, and Joanne and the family are especially are hoping for some good news and some help. And so let's remember Joanne in that time. Praise the Lord. W.A. Yarborough. Let's continue to pray for him and he will continue to improve. Lisa's dad's brother, who has leukemia.
Jared's brother, one of Kim Pendleton, starts chemo tomorrow.
Kim Pendleton, Terry's sister-in-law, Jerry's wife, and let's remember Kim and her treatments. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Lord and our God, we come to you this morning, Lord, grateful for the opportunity to be here in this building. Lord, as we try to practice safe distance and to be aware of one another, Lord, we realize that the times in which we live are challenging times for churches throughout this country. But dear God, the church that meets within this building, Lord, I pray that you would be with every family in this church. Lord, there are some particular needs that we bring before your throne of grace. We pray that you will continue to remember Sharon and that you will uphold the family. And Lord, we just pray that you will comfort and strengthen them and us as a church family as we grieve the loss of one of our dear members, Don Cullen. Lord, we would also pray this morning for Artie's dad and his mother. We pray for our pastor, Artie, and we pray for him as he is there trying to minister to his own family. Lord, it's been a difficult time, and we just lift Artie's dad in particular to you. Lord, as we come this morning, we would also pray a special way that you would be with Paul and Robin today. This most important step that individuals make outside of coming to know you as Lord and Savior is the uniting of two in marriage. And so, Lord God, I pray that you will be with them as they begin this journey. And Lord, I pray for our nation, a nation that is in turmoil, a world that is in turmoil. And yes, there are many wrongs, and there are things that have happened that we all regret. And yes, we all have had our attention brought to some things that need our attention. But dear God, the greatest need that we have is to be honor you as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, you are our hope. It's not in any political party. It's not in any group, in any cause, but it is in you. And I pray, oh God, that you would forgive us for the fact that we have lost sight. Much of our nation has lost sight of what it means to have a proper fear of the Lord. So, Lord, as we come this morning to worship, we come, dear God, first of all, laying our lives down in front of you. We come, dear God, surrendering to you. And Lord, we pray that the meditations of our hearts, the words that we speak, the songs we sing, the prayers we utter, the scripture we read, Lord, that it will all be for the process of honoring you and drawing us to attention to the affairs of this world and how we as Christians can make a difference. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time together. For Lord Jesus, we love you, and we thank you, Lord, for those who may be joining us by way of the internet this morning. Lord, there are needs in those families that may be listening. And so, Lord, we pray for those needs as well as those of us who are gathered here. May all praise, glory, and honor be unto you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, amen.
So I've been, the Lord's had me been back and forth on what exact scripture to use. And he's changed my mind at the last minute. So I'm going to flip to some scripture this morning. But I want to tell you a story. But before I tell you a story, and this may backfire only 100%. I want you to try to open that. This is God, my son. Everybody should know that. I was trying to open that bottle. I was trying to get Isabel to come up here and try to open it because I knew she couldn't open it. But she wouldn't come up here with me this morning. I'm even going to sit down. So as a dad, and it's Father's Day, if everybody's not 100% sure, day is Father's Day. But as a dad, I want you to think about the times your kids have came to you or as a kid that you've had to go to your dad and say, "Hey, Dad, will you open this for me?" Sometimes it might be a jar of pickles. It might be a bottle like I had. And that's water in that bottle, Sandra. It is. I drank all the sun drop already and it was on water. So, but I can remember, so the story I want to tell you is from when I was crying. I was not little. I was like 19, 20. I used to work with my dad. He was a mechanic. And I can remember being under a car, trying as hard as I could, it'd be a boat. And it'd just be so tight I couldn't get it done. And I'm talking about I could take a wrench and just hang my whole body weight on it. At that time, I didn't weigh but about 120 pounds. So I could just hang my whole body weight on it. It wouldn't come loose to save his life. My dad, he'd be looking at me and he'd be snickering, laughing at me. And he'd say, Dad, come on, I can't get this undone. He'd come over and do it and just break it right loose. And he'd just laugh at me and he'd walk off. But our dads, we look to our dads for strength. And we should. But as an adult, we also need someone to look to for strength. And I wanted to share a verse about the strength of our Heavenly Father. Because the sad thing is even our dads are human, and even our dads can let us down at times. But I can promise you that our Heavenly Father never let us down. And I want to read, start with Psalms 121, verse 1. It says, "I will lift up my eyes to the hill from whence comes my help. For my help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber." And I can read all through that, and that's just a beautiful a beautiful section in the verse of Psalms, which all of them are. And it just shows that our help, our strength, yes, we can look to our dads to give us our strength. But as we get older, and as we realize that, hey, sometimes even our dads can't handle it. Even dads need somebody to look up to. And we should look to God for our strength. We should look to God for to help get us through in the times when we struggle. So I just want to remind you that. When you look up to your dad, hey, that's great. Look up to your dad. But just remember that your dad, hopefully he's looking up to the Heavenly Father, and he's looking for strength there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for our fathers here on earth. But Lord, we know we're all human and we're not perfect. So we thank you for being our Heavenly Father, who is perfect, who is stronger than any force that the world could throw at us. And we're just grateful for that. Just help us to remember to look for you, look to you for our help. All we ask in your name. Amen.
David and Cheryl both have already touched on something I'm going to mention. They just want to miss our country is in, and actually it's worldwide, but the riots that are going on just seems to cause hatred to just boil over. With this COVID-19, so many of us have been affected in different ways. I tried to think of some of the ways some of us have been affected. Schools canceled, which have really made a problem for parents as well as the kids. We think about them, not just because of the education, but the friends that they're missing, the lack of education they're going to have next year, those who are hoping to get scholarships. So it has affected in so many ways. Some people have lost their jobs during this time. We have seen a lot of businesses have to file bankruptcy. We haven't been able to visit our loved ones like we normally would. We haven't got to visit those in the hospital. And that can be devastating on both sides, the one in the hospital and the one that's wanting to visit them. Dance classes, ball games, the social distancing, that has interfered with our hugs. And then 2 months of not having church services. No choir practice. I know they're getting stated. So we've all been touched in some way. But God promised to be with us. He went further than that. He promised he would never leave us, and that he would see us through. As a matter of fact, he said he would carry us through. So don't throw the towel in. Don't give up. God says you're going to make it.
God said you're gonna make it. God said you're gonna make it. God said you're gonna make it. You're gonna make it through the raging storm. Don't worry over thunder. You're not going under. God said you're gonna make it. You're gonna make it for the master's on board. God said you're gonna make it. God said you're gonna make it. God said you're gonna make it. You're gonna make it through the raging storm. Don't worry over thunder. You're not going under. God said, you're gonna make it.
You're gonna make it for the pastors on the road.
And fast, you had Jesus on board.
You broke the storm,
he's at the top of the board. No one won, there is one life from the grave. Until you say, you're a child of the King.
Later on. But as we think about today and the importance of today, and we think about Father's Day, a little boy wants to describe Father's Day as a day like Mother's Day, except you don't have to spend as much on the present. We do make a bigger deal about Mother's Day. And you know, that's fitting that we should do so. We could be more sentimental. Moms like it. And they know how to respond to us. And fathers don't always get that. But Father's Day, nonetheless, is still a big day. It's a day that fathers are honored, but at the same time, perhaps more importantly, it's a day that we should take advantage of ourselves. Or when I say take advantage, I meant to say take inventory of ourselves. If there was ever a time when fathers need to be and act like the Christian fathers we claim to be, It is now. You know, a fact that I think most of us would agree with, I'm 71 years old. I don't mind telling you. But I have lived in the best of times. And many of you can say the very same thing. The times in which we found ourselves in, with the freedoms that we have, and especially maybe earlier in our life, some of the worries that is now on the surface, some of those things, you know, we didn't really worry that much about. It seemed like life was simpler. But the fact is, while we lived in the best of times, we have also helped create the worst of times. Perhaps now you're saying, well, what do you mean, preacher? Or in the case now, what do you mean, Mr. Deacon? Well, let me share with you a few ideas. You might be saying, well, I've been a good father. I've provided for my family. I've worked hard. Through the years, I tried to help the family to grow and prosper. But build a house for my family, or maybe even more than one. Tried to furnish all the things they needed. I made sure my kids got a good education. I worked hard so that they can go to college. Or you might be saying, well, I've helped my son. I've taught him how to fish. I've taught him how to hunt. I've even taught him how to change oil in the car. These things that we think sometimes that are so important. Fact of the matter is, I've even been giving my daughter. But if you realize it or not, because when that young man came missing, I had a shotgun sitting by my chair down the table. Because I wanted to impress upon him that he better respect my daughter. So we look at ourselves as having been good fathers. We may even say, well, I made my kids memorize John 3:16. We sent them to church. Well, I sent my kids to church. Or I saw that they got there. We passed on the responsibility of spiritually training our kids because we expected the church to do it. And we in the church, so often in our churches, we have failed miserably. We have not discipled our children and youth and helped grow them in the admonition of the Lord. As you look back over the Hebrew nation, and as God appeared to the Hebrew nation many, many times, and we find this especially in the Old Testament, how fathers were to be teaching their kids, not only right from wrong, but teaching them to have a proper fear of the Lord. And you may be saying this morning, well, I taught my kids to be just like me. And my friends, sometimes that's the problem. All of this is part of the reason that why we as Christians find ourselves asking the question today, what happened to us as a country? Have you ever seen a time, as Sandra has said, where there's so much anger, there's so much hurt, there's so much pain, there's so much grief, there's so much a sense of entitlement, there's so much a lack of respect for life, a lack of trust in authority and for authority. People looking to blame somebody else for the problems. A lack of respect for life and the property of others. A lack of respect for the laws that protect us as a society. A lack of respect for a black man. When an officer placed his knee on his throat and kept it there for over 8 minutes. That was wrong. And on the other hand, it is wrong, be it the person, a black person or a white person, a red person, yellow person, any color you want to give them, to destroy the property of others or to take the life of someone else because of something else that had happened. Two wrongs do not make a right. So fathers, mothers, sons, daughters, red and yellow, black and white, Christians, one and all, how did we get here? We get to our scripture now. Psalm 34, verse 1. Excuse me, Psalm 36, verse 1. Follow along if you will on the screen or in your Bibles. An oracle is within my heart. What is an oracle? An oracle is a message from God. A message from God in my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. This is the problem that we face. There is no fear of God before His eyes, before their eyes. That is the problem. That's one of the problems that we face today. But now then, turn on over to the 34th chapter of Psalm, and let's look at the answer. Verse 1, I will extol the Lord at all times. In other words, I will praise and worship the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and He delivers them. Listen to this. Taste and see that the Lord is what? He is good. And blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Listen to what he says. And he's talking to Christians when he says, fear the Lord, you His saints. For those who fear Him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. And then he says, through His word to all of us, come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. You know, we like to quote the verses in the Bible about how much God loves us. We like to talk about John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Or we might say Romans 5:8, God demonstrated His love who for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you see the object of these verses, though? And rightfully so, because we are the object of God's love. But we like these verses because we are the object of God's love for us. We all want a God who loves us, who respects us, who respected us enough to give us free will, knowing full well that some of mankind, and all of us for that matter, because we are all sinners before God, because no one is perfect except Jesus Christ Himself, God knew that we would all be sinners. What is another word for sin? That we all would rebel against Him. But yet He loved us enough to allow Jesus Christ to die on the cross to take our place, shedding his blood so that we would not have to. We like these verses. We like to quote them. But I ask you a question this morning. How many verses can we quote about our responsibility to love, honor, trust, and respect God? I doubt there are very many. What am I trying to say? We as a people, even in our churches, I'm afraid, we have lost a proper fear of the Lord. Now we talk about fear, and we give a negative concept to fear for the most part. I'm afraid of something. Somebody's going to hurt me. I'm afraid. Or this might happen, or that might happen. I'm not talking about that kind of fear. That kind of fear can in fact be healthy because it keeps us from doing some pretty foolish things. There is also the fear that keeps us on the right path, and that is when we have a proper fear of the Lord. And what kind of fear is that? It means praising God in word and deed. It means walking the walk and not just talking the talk. It means following His commands. And following His commands when the inner man or the man, the worldly man that we are, does not always want to do that. It means a willingness to suffer on behalf of our Lord. I asked a question in Sunday school class that I teach a couple of Sundays ago. How many of us have suffered for the Lord? How many of us have endured persecution for the Lord? But yet Jesus teaches time and time again, if you are my disciple, you will suffer. Because standing up for what is right in a proper fear of the Lord, it's not always easy. Possessing the willingness to endure persecution, when we embrace God's word as our authority for life instead of the prevalent world views. That's what it means to have a proper fear of the Lord. Much of the criticism the world has thrown at us is regrettably in our churches, I'm afraid, deserved. Why do I say that? Because our lifestyles are not that much different from the rest of the world. We bow down in fear instead of standing tall for belief in God's word. And in the majority of Christian homes, I hate to say it, I would hate to compare what's read in God's Word to the other things that we read. So how can God speak to us? Can we gain it all by coming here on Sunday morning and listening to a preacher preach on Sunday morning? Is that enough religion for us? Well, religion's going to send more people to hell than anything else. Because if we do not have a proper fear of the Lord, then we can never know what it's like to be a sinner. If we do not have a proper respect for the Lord, then living in the light of the Lord's grace and mercy, then how can we even experience and know so often why we're even sinning, or when we're sinning? How does a person come to know Jesus Christ? They come to know Jesus Christ, first of all, when they see themselves a sinner condemned to hell because they are a sinner. And if a person can never experience that strong sense of sin in their life, then what is there to repent for? And without repentance, there is no remission of sins. Since Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father except through him, why do we not care enough to share what it is we say we have in our hearts? Why are we too embarrassed? And I'm talking to men now, because men have more problem with this than women, I think. Why are we too embarrassed to tell another man that we love Jesus and we love him because he first loved us? Or why, if we're not sure enough ourselves about our own salvation, do we not admit it and seek an empowering life experience with Jesus? What does the Bible say about the fear of the Lord? Look here. I ran these off. I've got a program that I can run off. I put in the phrase, fear of the Lord. This is what it says. Is that surprising? Listen to some of these. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul? Deuteronomy, assemble the people, men, women, and children, and the foreigners residing in your towns, so they can listen and learn to fear the Lord your God and follow carefully all the words of this law. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. Now let the fear of the Lord be on you. Judge carefully, for with the Lord our God there is no injustice or partiality or bribery. He gave them these orders. You must serve faithfully and wholeheartedly in the fear of the Lord. And he said to the human race, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to shun evil is understanding. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. Folks, I could go on for the next 30 minutes and share with you the instructions in God's Word that we are to have a proper fear of the Lord. You see, it's easy to dodge our responsibilities, but we cannot dodge the consequences of dodging our responsibilities. You think about that. I wish I could say those words were original with me, but they're not. They come from a gentleman by the name of Josiah Stamp, who was a 20th century industrialist, economist, and also an author. So I say to us this morning, is God trying to get our attention? Is the pandemic a warning? Is the pandemic a warning shot across the bow? If I'm not mistaken, there's 14 instances in the Old Testament where God sent a plague when the people got too far away from him. Why did he send it? To draw them back to him. Now, I'm not saying God sent this pandemic. I'm not saying that. I have no authority to be able to say that. But I am saying God allowed it. So is he trying to get our attention? Is the anger, resentment, hatred a glimpse into our future? I say to you this morning, by the grace of God and for his glory, not if I've got anything to say about it. What about you? We are at this point in history because we have neglected our true love, Jesus Christ. Let's look at history for just a moment. And I can say this. You go back and you look at every civilization. They reached a point to which when they got so far down the line, they were no more. And folks, we're headed that way unless we as God's people, Christians, Christ ones, fulfill the calling for which we've been called. There was a time when coming out of the Depression, people wanted more for their families, their kids. They began to work as people in America always were. But then there was World War II came on the scene. An industrial giant was created. There was a search for prosperity and a better way of life. It became the order of the day. All of a sudden, families, in order to have the things that we began to want and desire, both husband and wife began working more outside the home. And there came into play a surging decades of materialism. Add to that secular humanism. What is secular humanism? Secular humanism says it's man's reasoning that's important and you ignore the truthfulness of Scripture. The truthfulness of which most of us grew up with. Why would that scheme, why would the devil want to plant that scheme? Because if you can fool a man into believing he is nothing special, all of a sudden we started hearing things, and it first came about with Darwin back in the end of the 1800s. And Darwin says, all of a sudden now, we're these globs that just happen to come together. Man's a glob. Then when we look at it like that, or man descended from a monkey, if we just look at ourselves like that, then what does that do? That downplays the very fact that we are of intelligent design, created by our God. And if you can destroy the absolute authority of God, then without the absolutes of God's moral laws created by mankind's good, or for mankind's good, man then becomes his own good God doing what he desires. And if you can believe that bunch of junk, then you can do what you want to do. What's important is if it's good for me or if I enjoy it, because all God wants out of me anyway is to be happy. Without the absolutes of God's moral laws, we began to descend into Pandora's box that most of us have seen open. Add to that John Dewey's method of teaching. The standard became the rejection of absolute, unchangeable truths. So, if the fact of what God has taught us is no longer relevant, then where does that leave a society? Add to that 1963. The Supreme Court prohibited schools from organizing or leading Bible reading or the exercise of prayer in our schools. And I ask you, two generations later, where has it gotten us? Moral relativism led to the sexual revolution of the 60s and 80s. Hollywood found a cash cow because they could cash in on the base instincts of man, which when man is left to his own, without moral absolutes in our world, it is degrading. And the things that some of us catch ourselves watching today, we never ever thought we would watch. Where do our kids pick up their values today? On television. A kids program that we were watching last night with our granddaughter. The majority of the participants on there were homosexuals. Now, we should love every homosexual, but God's word says it's wrong. But that's what we're being taught. Kids who have no intention of ever turning out that way, out of curiosity, can get caught up. Bad is touted as good now. And that in God's plan for man that is good is now being called what? Bad. And sadly, the silence of the church has hastened us closer to our day of reckoning. So the challenge facing us as Christians and churches is how to proclaim the righteousness of God, a proper fear of God, while extending the grace of God to those we seek to love in Jesus' name. Our 31st president, Herbert Hoover, spoke some insightful truths when he said, "We have overworked the word new. The practice thing, if we want to make the world over, is to try out the word old for a while. Some old things made this country. Some old things are slipping, and if they slip too far, the light will go out of America. Old virtues, old religious faith, hold truth, integrity, honor in public office, economy in government, individual liberty, willingness to sacrifice. Those are good values. Our greatest danger, listen to this, is not from the invasion of foreign armies. Rather, our great danger is suicide by compliance with evil. I hope nobody takes anything that I have said as insensitive to any creature that God has created. Because God came and sent His Son, revealed Himself to us through His Son, to love every single one of us. And we as a church, we as Christian people, are to be loving and we are to seek understanding. But my friends, we also need to stand for a proper fear of the Lord. Christians individually, one by one, and church by church, need a revival. And I'm not just talking about a series of meetings. I'm talking an awakening by the Church of Jesus Christ, because God is trying to awaken us. Hear me. You take this to the bank. God is trying to awaken us. And we must, with every part of our being, fight Christian lethargy and indifference. Our battle cry must become, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And my friends, we need the collective strength of each other. Left to our own, it is a hard and difficult battle. We need the strength of each other. We need the dedication of each other. We need the dedication of those who will listen to this perhaps later. We need the dedication of Christians, be they wherever they are, to realize that we are living in difficult times, and we are living in a time in which God will hold us responsible if we do not become alive for Him. You can take this sermon this morning, you can leave from here, go on, eat your meal, life will go on. Or you can resolve that things are not going to be the same with you. Be you resolved that for this day, from this point forward, for me and my house, we will serve. Would you bow with me, please? Dear God, I've tried to share the message that you've given me this week. Lord, it may not be the easiest message to deliver, but God, I believe with all my heart I've tried to deliver what you would have. Lord, help us to be willing to suffer if we have to, endure persecution if we have to. But help us, O God, to come alive. It's time the church comes alive. Help us to that end, dear God. And Lord, the only way we can do it, get on our knees before you, humble ourselves before you, and let you do within us that which we in our own strength cannot do. Lord, I pray for every one in this congregation. I pray for every person on our church roll. I pray for those who are listening. And if there's one or many that this message has touched, and Lord, we give you the glory for it. But Lord, we pray that there will be an awakening, and that people will awaken to all of our needs, and that is to have you first and foremost. Then the problems that we face in this world and in our country, when we can love you properly, then we know how to love our fellow man, regardless of their color, regardless of their station in life. Lord, help us to be your people for this time. For it's in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen.